our darkest moments, God calls to us and invites us to a place called peace. In our darkest moments, God calls to us, and He calls to us with a new name, and He invites us to a place called peace. What do you reckon is one of the world's biggest lies? Some people have said perhaps the world's biggest lie is, I love you. Perhaps told most times truthfully, but sometimes not. Somebody said this, that perhaps the world's biggest lie is, the check is in the post. But you know, I've got a contender for the world's biggest lie. And I'll tell you what it is. It's this, it's sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. It's a lie. It's a lie. We know that names can hurt us deeply. They can wound us. And we will go to some of the darkest places we will ever go in life because of the names that somebody calls us, or the names that circumstances call us, or the worst of all, the names that we call ourselves. You know, there's such a thing as the unusual baby name list. In 2012, they had a list and they said, what is the most unusual baby names for the year? One of the top was Taco MB Monster. How about that, calling your kid that? One of the second highest ones was a young boy who was called Burger. B-U-R-G-R. Let's hope their surname wasn't King. The third was this one, a young lad that was called A. E-H. As in, what have you called your baby? A? Yes. No, what have you called your baby? A? No, I asked you. No, that's... Fancy calling your kid A. My name is Peter Billingham. And I've got to be very careful what I say about my early years, because Mrs. Smith, as I named her, Maureen, as you know her, lived two doors away from me when I was growing up. And when I was growing up, my name was the kid with the white hair. Whenever there was trouble in our street, and there was always trouble, broken windows, broken toys, broken bones, everybody would say, who did it? It was him with the white hair. And then when I went to school, I had a name, and that name was, why can't you be like your sister? And then when I got to Parkside School, they actually called me Disrupto. That was my name, because I spent more of my time disrupting the lessons than actually being part of them. I've carried a few different business cards in my life. I had a name that was Co-op Butcher. I had a name on a card that said Sun Alliance Insurance Consultant. And then it said, senior consultant. And then it said, assistant branch manager. And then it said, senior branch manager. Then it said, regional director. And you know, I started to believe that I was the name that was written on a card. The next name they called me was mature student at Birmingham University. Now, that's probably not quite as bad as A, but it's a bit of a change. But you know, the next name they called me, which is even worse than A, they called me Pastor. And that could be the worst name of all, who knows? You'll have to ask Paul that one. But there's been some times in my life when the names that I've been called have taken me to some dark places. And it's very interesting how the name that you are called can shape your behaviour. We start to live into the names that we are called. For a time, I was called a fatherless teenager. And interestingly, at the same time, my mum got a new name and she was called Widow. For a time, and I'm glad that it wasn't very long, I had a name that was called Depressed. And you start to live into the name that you are called. In some of our darkest moments, God calls to us with a new name and he invites us into a place that's called peace. In some of our darkest moments, God calls to us with a new name and he invites us into a place that's called peace. What about you? What are names that you've been called? You see, you may have been christened Jane, but you thought your name was stupid because that's what you were called all your life. You may have grown up thinking that you were called loser, failure. You're never going to amount to anything. But actually, your name was really John. And over the years, you've lived into that name. You've believed that that false name that somebody gave to you was the name for your life. And you lived into that name. And now, 50 years later, you're still trying to prove to your father, who died 20 years ago, that actually you can amount to something with your life. You live in to the name that you are given. Did you ever have the name supervisor, manager, and then without any warning they named you redundant, and it still hurts? Can you remember when they named you dad and you loved it? And actually then they even named you granddad, and that was even better still. But it's been so long since you've seen anybody that now they name you that lonely old guy in flat 26. Can you remember when they named you account executive? And now the name on your Milton Stain business card says professional nappy changer. And while you love the title of mom, if you're honest, there's some times when you miss the name that you had of account executive, and it takes you to a dark place. Did you love it when they called you Mrs. and you never thought that they would name you divorced? Or can you remember the celebration when they called you Golden Wedding Anniversary? And now they name you Widower. Some of the names that we get called can take us to some of the darkest places in our life. But in our darkest moments, God calls to us with a new name. And he invites us to a place called peace. Now the good news is, we're not the first people to have struggled with the place that we get taken to by a name. God must have understood this, because when we look in Scripture, there are lots and lots of occasions where we can see that the name that somebody was given, or the circumstances that happened to them, which gave them a name, or the name that they gave themselves, took them to a dark place. But in that particular place, God was there. And what we're going to do today, we're going to look at a story of Gideon. And we're going to see that when he was in one of the most darkest places of all, God came to him and he invited him with a new name and took him to a place called peace. Now, if you've got a Bible with you, if you haven't, it doesn't matter. We're going to look at a little bit of a passage in the book of Judges. And these names that we get called bring conflict into our life. We can have external conflict, or perhaps the worst kind of conflict of all is the conflict that takes place in there that nobody else hears. If you go to Judges chapter 6, and Judges is in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, and we're just going to look through a few verses in chapter 6. Let's start off verse 1. Now we're looking at the moment at how do we live the names of God. So verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared to shelter themselves in mountain clefts, caves and strongholds. The Israelites were on the run. They were in a dark place. So dark was it that they went to caves to hide because they were so oppressed by the circumstances that were taking place. And for 7 years they had been hiding in the dark just to survive. Verse 3, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and they ruined the crops all the way to Gaza, and they didn't spare a living thing for Israel. There was nothing for the sheep, not the cattle, nor the donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents, and they were like a swarm of locusts, and it was impossible to count them or their camels as they invaded the land to ravage it. 7 years they would plant seeds. They'd just see them starting to come through the ground. They'd start to produce some kind of harvest, and bang, it would go. Another year would come, and they would plant some seeds. They'd start to see it grow, and then bang, they would come and take it. You know, life's a bit like that sometimes, isn't it? You know, you get a hit of some kind. Somebody calls you a name, or the circumstances of life give you a name. And you get a hit. And you can just about stagger back up to your feet again. And lo and behold, what happens? Bang. You get another hit. You know, in the month that the washing machine breaks, the car breaks. You know what it's like. It just happens. And you get one hit and you can get up. And you get two hits and you can get up. A little bit. But then 7 hits in a row, we find that they can just about get to their knees. Verse 6. Midian so impoverished the Israelites, they so dominated the circumstances of their life, that the Israelites cried out for help. Why do we do that? Why do we wait until it's emergency time to cry out to the Lord for help? It's like prayer is break only in the case of emergency. And that's what it's like for these people. It's been so bad, it takes them 7 years before they cry out for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said this. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of Egyptians. I delivered you from the hand of all these oppressors. I drove them out before you. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship in those lands you live, but you have not listened to me. Now I could confess, I could rightly wear the name, do not listen to God. Deaf to the work of God in my life. Deaf to the goodness and the grace that he's poured on me. Deaf to living as a free man rather than living as a slave. Have you been deaf to that? Because I know I certainly have. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came down and he sat under the oak that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said this, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Okay, get ready, because here it is. Here is the new name that God calls Gideon. Now, let's just remember, Gideon is hiding. He's in a really dark place. He's had to go somewhere where you wouldn't normally do what you're doing. We don't know whether he was really in a hole, but I imagine he was hiding out of sight in this wine press so that the oppressors couldn't take the crops that he was turning into just a staple diet. He's in a dark place. And God comes to him and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And I think it's really interesting to notice the name, mighty warrior. You could say there's an adjective and a noun there. Interesting idea. In our darkest moments, God calls to us with a new name and he invites us to a place called peace. What do we see God saying? "The Lord is with you, you loser. You feeble coward. The Lord is with you, waster." No, we don't see that, do we? What we see is that God is calling to him a new name. And he says, "Gideon, you're a mighty warrior." And I'm sure he must have gone, "You talking to me? You got to be kidding. I'm not a mighty warrior. I'm down here in a hole, hiding, trying to survive, just trying to live every day. And you call me with the name of being a mighty warrior? God, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. You can't be talking to me." Now, what's really interesting is when God looks at him and when he looks at you and when he looks at me, he doesn't see us as we are. He sees what we can become. And he gives us the name of what we can become for us to live into that name. Not the name that everybody might have called us. Not the name that circumstances might have called us. Not the name that we might call ourselves. But the name that he has for us, that he wants us to live into. Verse 13. What's Gideon's response? It says it quite politely here, but I think it might have been a little bit different than this. He says, "Pardon me, my Lord." I don't think he'd have said that. But anyway, Gideon says, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" How often does that question ripple through our life? If you say who you are, God, why has all this happened to me? Why has all these bad things happened in my life? If you say you're the God that you say you are. If you really say as you are, why do I get to these dark places? Why has this happened to me? That's a very genuine question to ask. And there's nothing wrong with asking that question at all. Let's carry on verse 13. He goes on to say, "Where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about in the past? Didn't the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." And the Lord turned to him and said this, and this is really important. He says, "Go in the strength that you have." Go in the strength that you have. I'm sending you. So that's not enough. As Pete says, Gideon was this guy who kept going back asking more questions. He says, "Pardon me, Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in the family. And the Lord says, I will be with you." You know what I think is really interesting about those few verses? God doesn't answer those questions. You see, Gideon is saying, "I didn't get the 11 plus, I didn't go to grammar school. I'm the weakest one in the family. They named me stupid. They named me waste of space. They named me I'll never amount to anything." But God doesn't engage in any conversation with him. He says, with the strength that you've got, however small that might be, I'm going to invite you to a new place. And I will be with you. And that was enough. That was enough. If we move on a little bit further, verse 23. God says to him, peace, don't be afraid. You are not going to die. So Gideon built an altar there and he called it, the Lord is peace. And what we see here is really important for you and I this morning. Is that God is talking to Gideon and he's scared stiff. He is scared stiff. Because if he wasn't, God wouldn't be saying, don't be afraid. And God says to him, get out of that hole and go and live in this new name that I am calling you. Not interested in the fact that you might think you're the least, because I can see something in you. I can give you a name that other people can't see. But you've got to get out of that hole and move in the direction that I'm calling you. And if you don't, you're going to stay in that dark place. It's going to take you to do something to get out of that hole. And even with the strength that you've got, which might not be a lot, you need to live into the direction that I am calling you. See, God is peace. God isn't just a giver of peace. God is peace. Now, we've all got to go to work, some of us, tomorrow morning. Some of us have got to go to school. Some of us have got other things to do. And the question I always ask, in the light of what we've heard from Scripture, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? It's no good just listening to it. We need to do something with it. Because this morning, you may be in a dark place. You may be in a dark place because somebody has called you a name all your life, and you've lived into that name, and you find yourself, if you're really honest with yourself, you find yourself in a dark place. It may be that the circumstances of life have given you a name. Circumstances that are unjust, circumstances that are unfair, but circumstances of life that have brought you to a place that you've got a name that has given you a place where it's dark. Or maybe you're in a dark place because you call yourself a name. What are you going to do about that? Let's have a look and see what Scripture says. First of all, we need to look and see what this invitation looks like that God's calling us to. Because in our darkest moments, God calls to us with a new name and invites us. Now, that first invitation may be this morning that you need to acknowledge that you are in a dark place. You know, as Christians, quite often, we won't be honest. We won't be honest. Some Christians, or a lot of Christians, are actually the most, not dishonest in one way, but they won't tell the truth. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. When really your world's falling apart. But you think, if I'm a Christian, I shouldn't actually be saying that things are bad because I'm admitting some kind of defeat. No. Even passion-filled, devoted followers of Christ get depressed. We can have conflict, external conflict, and we can have internal conflict that can drive us to dark places. I heard a story a little while ago about a pastor, and a lady in the congregation came to him and she said, you know, pastor, she said, I have all these worries, I have all these concerns, I'm so worried about this, and I'm worried about money, and I'm worried about the children, and I'm worried about work. And he says, I know just the place for you. He said, I could take you to a place where the people there don't have a care in the world. Would you like to go? She said, "You're right, I would like to go there." So he took her down the road to the cemetery. And he said, "Look," he said, "all them people haven't got a care in the world. But they're dead. Life constitutes conflict. Sometimes we think that as a Christian our lives should be void of conflict, but that's not what peace in the Bible is. Peace, as God talks about it, is fullness, and maybe living the kind of life and the name that he's calling us to. It's not the absence of conflict. If you think you're going to live a life with no conflict, you will do one day, but you might not want to get there just yet. So the first invite could be for you to accept, God, I recognize I'm in a dark place. And I feel weak. I feel unable to do anything. What is the new name that you're calling me? What is the new name you're calling me? The second thing could be to recognize your new name. What's the name that God is calling you? What's the adjective and the noun that he's calling you? Faithful prayer warrior. And you go, me? You gotta be kidding. I'm not spiritual. I only read my Bible 3 or 4 times a year. And you want me to be a faithful prayer warrior? You gotta be kidding. And God says, get out of the hole and go in the strength that I'm giving you, and I'll be with you. Live into the new name that I'm calling you. Maybe he calls you confident small group leader, nurturing mother, skilled musician, creative artist. What's the new name that God is calling you? And you're going to say, me? You've got to be kidding. Street pastor? Don't go there. Me? Street pastor? You gotta be kidding. And God says, get out of the hole and go and live into this new name that I am giving you. Because if you don't take action, you're going to stay in the hole. I'll still be with you, but you're going to be living that old name. And I've got a new name for you that is much more exciting. And it's not about where you are, it's about where I can see you going. But you've got to get out of the hole. You've got to take a step in that direction. What else could the invite look like? This one could be a tough one. Maybe he is saying to you, your new name is Graceful Believer. What do I mean by that? Maybe you were named by somebody for many years and it hurts even today. And you can't forgive them. And you resent the fact that you grew up and they called you stupid. And it still hurts today. And God says, I want to give you a new name that is Graceful Believer. But in order for that to happen, you've got to get out of the hole and you need to forgive that person. Me? Forgive them? You've got to be kidding. They don't deserve forgiveness. No, they don't probably deserve forgiveness, but neither do we. And God forgives us. But if you hold on to that resentment for the name that you were called or the name that circumstances called you, you're never going to get out of the hole and live in the new name that God is calling you towards. And he says, I will be with you. Go in the strength you have. You know, you might have not much strength to give forgiveness. But you might just have to say, God, I am in a dark place. And with the strength I have, I forgive them. Maybe the last invitation could be one of courage. Perhaps your dark place is being fearful about tomorrow. Maybe you look at your life and you think, you know, I have more years behind me than I have in front of me. And if I'm honest, that scares me. I used to love it when they said my name was Picture of Health. And now they call me Oncology Patient. I'm scared about tomorrow. And God says, you know what I'm going to call you? Good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Even if you are scared about tomorrow, even if you are scared about dying, get out of the hole, because I will be with you. I will be with you. There's a lovely verse in the book of Isaiah, and it says this. It says that God inscribes our name onto his hand. I don't think that's Peter. I don't think that's Mary. I don't think that's Jane. I don't think it's Maureen. I don't think it's Margaret, Sarah. He writes on his name, on his hand.